And I want to speak about, it's all about the heart. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so, like, when you think about somebody's heart, you want to know what they really think and what they really focus on, is just talk to them for a little bit. And once you talk to them, you'll know where their mind is. And I was thinking about this earlier today, and I said, I guess, like, for those of us who like sports, it depends on what season it is, if it's baseball, football. And if it's college football, those of us who like college football, we will talk about that, right? But there's so many things in life, you know, that if you talk to somebody, you know exactly where their interest lies. But I want you to just think about, like, tonight, like right now, this afternoon, if you just sit there and just think about yourself, where's your mind going to be in 2 or 3 minutes or 10 minutes from now or whatever? And that will kind of tell you where your heart is and where your focus is. And so for us, God really focuses on the heart. Mark 7, beginning of verse 6, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, he says, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so we need to think about that. When we come together, when we worship God, or we, as Colton talked about this morning, where is our heart? And so he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Proverbs, Solomon writes, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And that's what we need to be searching for, searching for God, and let him direct us in our ways. Proverbs 17:8 goes in, it says that the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. And so when we talk about this evening, we'll look at some examples about God's testing of the heart and why is it important. The Hebrew word translated as test in the Old Testament is bakan. It means to examine, investigate, prove, or scrutinize. And so sometimes we think about testing, we think about going back to our college days or high school days or whatever, being tested on a piece of paper, but that's not what God does. God tests us. He tests our heart. He examines it. He investigates it. He proves it and he scrutinizes it. In the Greek, the word translated as test in the New Testament is dokimazo, and it means to put to the test, to prove, examine, and by implication, to approve. And so we seek to be approved by God, and his test will do that. But why does God test our hearts? Ask yourself, does God test my heart? And then you can ask yourself, like, why do I even have a heart? It's not a heart, the physical heart, but we have a heart because God has a heart. As a spiritual heart. It's our spiritual heart, not our physical heart, that drives our behavior. That's what God is concerned about, is our spiritual heart. What are we doing and what drives us? Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, and we've talked about this in our class before, is that God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And that's why God has so much love for us, is because we are made in his image. And that's why he has patience with us. But we can go ahead and push him away, and that patience can just dissolve. Acts, the 13th chapter, and verse 22, and Luke writing this, he says, God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will what? Who will do my will. So that's what God says. He says that I found the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And so when we look at these things, we can tell that God, that's why God tests us. He wants to see if we hold true to him. Psalms 26 and verse 2, that's David, Psalm of David, he says, examine me, O Lord, prove me. Try my mind and try my heart. And that's one thing when you look at some scriptures like that, if you will just sit there and just think about it, how many of us would sit here and in our prayers to God say, go ahead, God, examine me. Prove me. Try my mind and my heart. It's a very scary thing to think about what David is asking. But he's saying, try me. Psalm 11, verse 5, he says, the Lord tests the righteous. And we had this conversation in class just recently, but and Peter came up to me and he goes, that's kind of a scary thing, is that the Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. But when you think about this, and we talked about it, and this is what he and I talked about a little bit after class, is he says that the Lord tests the righteous. So what if you don't feel like you're being tested at all? It's going to tell you, I think, a little bit about what and where your heart is. Because those of us who are trying to follow, Satan is going to put temptation after temptation. He's going to do different things. And there's things that you and I, we deal with every single day. And there's things that I know that I fight with personally, you know, because it's just in your character. You may have a problem that I look at and I go like, why do they have a problem with that? But yet on the other side, they may look at me and go like, why does Rob have a problem with that? I don't have a problem. That's not difficult. So each of us are challenged in different ways. In Jeremiah, the Lord said to Jeremiah in 17 verses 9 and 10, he says, the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now that's pretty amazing, that statement, is that it's desperately wicked. And then he goes, who can know it? I can't know what's in your heart unless you tell me. And then when you tell me, it may not even be the truth. It may be what you think I need to hear or what I want to hear. It may make you seem more righteous. I may do the same thing. But he says the heart's deceitful. And who can know it? But in this statement, when he says, I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And so when we look at it, God searches our heart, not our physical heart, but our mental heart, our spiritual heart. And then he says, I test the mind. Matthew 22nd chapter, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and the great commandment. And so when you look at what he's saying, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, with every ounce of your being. That's what God wants. He doesn't want somebody there that just kind of is there one day and not the next. He wants all of us. Every bit of us. And Luke, Jesus goes on to say in Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 45, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And so like we talked about in the very beginning, is that you sit there and you talk to somebody for a little bit, and you'll know exactly where their heart is, where their love is, where their focus and their attention. And if they talk to you, they'll know pretty soon. If you're truthful with them, they'll know exactly where you start. And it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And so we all find that. We all have things that we like. So this evening, I'd just like us to consider at least three reasons why God tests our hearts. Just three. And you could probably come up with a number of more, but I just want us to look at three things as we sit there. His tests build our faith in him. That's the purpose of it. He wants us. We've been studying on Sunday mornings what's going on with everybody, all the way from Moses, and we talked about Abraham. Those tests that God was putting him through was what? It was to build their faith. And so his tests build our faith in Him. And His tests prove our love for Him. We just talked about it, that we need to love Him with all our heart, our soul, our mind. And so God, when His tests, He's going to prove, He's going to test our love. Where does our love lie? What do we really put our faith and our trust in? And then the third one I had down was His tests strengthen our spiritual resolve to reach our heavenly home. And so that's what we need to do, is that our love and our heart needs to be focused on heaven and what we need to do to get there, to be faithful to the Lord. And well, I think when we look at this, we'll see, like in Deuteronomy, when Moses was speaking, he says, look, and this is from the Lord. He goes, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe it. And those are words for us to listen to, even today under the new law. We need to be careful to observe those things. And then he goes on to say that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. So you notice he says, you got to be careful to observe it. The second verse he says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. And here goes the part of the testing. He says, he tested you to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart and whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so this goes back to what we were talking about, that God's tests are there. They're there for a reason. He wants to know whether we love him, and it's there also to humble us. And verse 3 says, and so he humbled you. And this is kind of an interesting statement that's made here. He said, he humbled you and allowed you to hunger. And it's kind of interesting is that God, that's part of God's test, that he allowed them to hunger. And then he said, he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might, and this goes on, is that he might know, or make you know, that man shall not live by bread alone. So he's going, he let you hunger, but now he's focusing back. Where's the most important thing? But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And so we find out that Jesus did the same thing. He said the same thing after he had been in the wilderness for 40 days. And it says in Matthew 4, verses 2 and 3, and he says, and when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And now the tempter came to him and he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. And so fasting for 40 days, he would be hungry. You and I would be hungry. I don't even know, you know, we could make it that long, but he did. But he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made of bread. And then he goes on in verse 4, he says, but Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we need to remember that it's not about what we have here in this world physically that sustains our bodies, but it's the spiritual food that we need to take. Jesus continuing in Matthew 6, chapter verse 31, beginning, he goes, look, don't worry. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And what shall we wear? And so those are things that people are focused on. You and I may be focused on the same thing. If any one of those three are taken away from us, that's where we may be focused on. But Jesus says, don't worry about it. You're saying these things. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Then he goes on, he says, like, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And so God knows that we need these things. But it doesn't stop us from focusing on his word. No one can take that away. They might be able to take all these other things out from you, but they can't take your trust in God. Goes on to consider, but he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so he's refocusing their attention, and that's what we need to do sometimes, is focus. And I don't know about you, but in our house sometimes all of a sudden we're doing something and one of the family members will say, focus, you got to get refocused. And so sometimes we need to be focused on what we're trying to do, and our focus, if we're not careful, can go over here and all over and just forget about where we are. So no one likes to be tested. You ask any school-age kids in here, anybody that's below teenage years or whatever, nobody likes to be tested. I don't think you like to be tested. I don't like to be tested. But nobody likes to be tested. But be prepared. Be prepared, because God's tests come at unexpected times. And it's always, you remember that when you're in school, those of you who are out of school now, remember those pop quizzes? Did you like those? Nope. Nobody likes those, right? Pop quizzes. But with God, though, we need to be prepared at all times, because his tests come at unexpected times. And think about Noah. Genesis 6, chapter and beginning, verse 9, the latter part of that says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And so we get a picture of who Noah is, and it says that he walked with God, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come to me, come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. He could have said, you're not going to do that. It's not going to rain that much. Nothing's going to bring that much to kill everyone, right? But he goes on to tell him, he says, you make yourself an ark of gopher wood. And we find that the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11:7 talks about Noah's faith. And he goes on, he says, and by faith Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen. Here's how Noah was tested. And this is where his focus was. His focus was moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the righteousness which is according to faith. And so we find here that Noah was prepared. God told him what to do, and he did it. And in these words, divinely warned, moved, prepared, and then he condemned as a result of his actions and his righteousness. God's test will challenge our faith. And we talked about that God tests the righteous. So God's tests will challenge our faith. Sometimes we may think that we have all this faith, but then God will test that faith. And it always makes me think about what we just talked about recently in Genesis 22nd chapter and verses beginning in verse 1. He says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. God tested Abraham and said, Abraham, he said, here am I. And then God's test begins. And he says, here, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you. Pretty amazing test. But God tests the righteous, and Abraham was going to be tested. Verse 11 beginning, it says, but the angel called to Abraham from heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham, and he says, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. And this is a pretty amazing statement. Here's the results of his test, right? He says, for now I know that you fear God. He got all the way to the point of killing his only begotten son. His only son that God gave him. He says, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And so he passed the test, and he goes on. And so when you look at that, it was a pretty tough test. The Hebrew writer in 11 goes on, he says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, and Isaac, your seed shall be called. And then it goes on to say, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. God was, this was what was in Abraham's mind. He says, even if I take his life, God has promised that through my seed, the world would be blessed. But he goes on and says that he concluded in his mind, he said that God was able to raise him from the dead. And then looking on that, God tests, his tests will reveal what we most value in our lives. And there are things in our lives, and so Marie and I talk about this, and sometimes you and I can drive down the road and we see a building go up and we go, oh, are those apartments going up or this or that? And guess what they are? You store it places. Storage places being built all over the place. And I tell her, and I've told other people, I said, we Americans, we're in love with stuff. We love our stuff. When we first moved here from Tampa, and next thing you know, we put stuff into a little 5x10 storage place. And guess how many times we checked that in like a year and a half or 2 years? Zero. I'm sitting here going like, why are we paying $40 a month to not look at anything or do anything? But sometimes we just get caught up with stuff. We have some people just have houses full of stuff that they'll never use. But God's test will reveal what we value most in our lives. Acts the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 15, and this is when you think about Paul. He says, but the Lord said to Ananias, he says, go, for he, that's Paul, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So he's telling Ananias right up front, he's going to be tested. And we've talked about this before. If you would have asked to select somebody to carry your name forward, would you have taken Paul? Would you have taken Saul? After all that he did to your people, would you select him? But God knew. God knew who he was and what he was like. And so God tested him. He says, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul started down the road, right? And then he just gave up. He quit. Is that what he did? The Philippian writer, Paul, writing to the Philippians, he says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What was important to Paul? What was important in this earth to Paul? He said, look, I forgot. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. If you wanted to give you a resume, he had the resume. But he said, I forgot all that stuff. My attention and my focus is moving forward. And he says, to those which are ahead, he says, I press forward to the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. I forget those things, and my goal is to press forward to the upward call of Jesus. So I ask this question of you and I ask it of me. Or how are we holding up to the tests we face in life? And I know that there's some people in here that are going through some pretty tough times. When you lose things, you lose family members, you lose part of your health, those are challenges. But how do we hold up to that? Do we just give up? We have to keep moving on. 1 John, the second chapter, beginning in verse 15, he says, don't love the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. And so that goes back to the comment I just made, is that we have to be careful that we don't fall in love with stuff. I can't die now because I want to do this, and I want to see that, and I have this. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I don't want to die. I've got too many things I want to do. But he says, don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So don't fall in love with stuff. Don't fall in love, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Put those things behind you and press on. I want you to think about this. At the end of chapter 11, this verse always amazes me. And especially when it ends. And the question I have is just think about those mentioned in 11, Hebrews 11. Where they place their trust. I'm not talking about all the individual names at the very beginning. I'm talking about the last verse when all of a sudden it talks about people that it says that others were tortured. Trials of mockings and scourgings, of chains and imprisonment, stoned, sawn in two, tempted, slain with a sword, wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented. These people's names are not even listed. But they suffered for the cause of God and what He wanted to do. That was where their love was. And he says, just think about all these people. And then he makes this one statement at the end of that verse, which in amazing, he says, of whom, I get emotional when I take it, of whom the world was not worthy. That's how God looked at them. The world is not even worthy of you. All these things that people suffered and they went through. But he ends it by saying, of whom the world was not worthy. And so recall the words of the Lord that we just talked about in Jeremiah just a few minutes ago. Jeremiah 17, verse 10, when he says, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind, and even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So God, remember that. He searches our hearts. He tests our minds, and then he rewards us accordingly. So I want to close with these three points that we talked about in the very beginning. Is I want us to remember that God's tests will help us build our faith in Him, not in man, not in your spouse, not in your children, not in the things that you own, but God's tests will help us build our faith in Him. And it will also prove our love for Him. How strong are we when it comes to the things that tempt us, the things that challenge us? Where is our love? But God's test will prove our love for Him, and finally it will strengthen our spiritual resolve, not our physical, but our spiritual resolve to serve Him as we run the race that's set before us. So there may be some here this evening that have never named the name of Christ, never been obedient to God's word. It's an opportunity that you can avail yourself to and make yourself and your desires known at this time. Or you may get to the point where you're struggling. You are failing test and failing test and failing test and failing test, and you need help. Find a brother and sister that you can talk to. We all are striving to get to the same place. So if we can help you in any way, just come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement, number 263.